But I can't.
I think it's going to be Exodus 28, verse 3. I got a little old dot right here by it up. Exodus 28, verse number 3. But yeah, we're going to pick it up in verse number 3. Lord willing. Matter of fact, I said that. But I kind of like this. I was reading it earlier today when I got home from work. And it said in verse 2, "And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother for glory and for beauty." And we went over that some practically. But if you want to go over something real neat, read, go home and read Psalms 45. And read about the beauty of the Lord. And then go over there and read Psalm 104 verse 2, where it talks about how He's clothed with a garment of light. You know what that Bible says? God is light. You know what's wrong with the world? They're not walking with Jesus, so they're walking in darkness. Yeah. It's one of the saddest things you ever see. People just... You'd be talking to somebody and the sun's shining outside, but spiritually they're just walking around in darkness. They don't know their left hand from the right. Can't see the forest for the trees, so to speak. Well, they're walking in the light of the sun, but they don't believe the Bible, don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're sitting there going, "Man, you walking around, it's dangerous." I tell you something, you can hurt yourself at dark. One time, we were kids, and we was running around, and we was doing that. We always liked to play hide and go seek and stuff like that when we was kids at night. And one of our buddies was running, and you know those cables that holds those light poles? I don't know what that thing's called, something. But anyway, it's cable. And my buddy Chris was running, and he was running fast as he could to get away from the person that's chasing. And he hit. It was dark. And he hit that pole. And when he hit that pole, it come straight across him like that right there. You talking about something, right, man? And man, it hurt him bad. You know what? There's all kind of things like that, spiritually speaking. Yeah. They run around in the dark, and all of a sudden they think everything's fine. We're playing games, just having fun, and all of a sudden when they get hurt, then guess what? Then you got to take them to somebody and help them out. You wonder why a lot of folks get hurt like they do? So they'll seek the Dr. Jesus, the great physician.
Amen.
It's coming. I'm going to tell you something. They get hurt over and over. Well, the Lord will allow it in His grace and mercy. Allow it so they'll seek Him, the great physician. He's clothed in light. So much so, the Bible said when they saw Him on the Mount of Transfiguration that He was above the brightness of the sun. When the Apostle Paul saw Him up there in Acts chapter number 9, He was above the brightness of the sun. That's why the Bible says one of these days we're going to be in a place with the Lord.
That's right, brother.
Called heaven. And you know what the Bible says? It didn't say the sun wasn't going to be there. In Revelation 21 it says there's going to be no need for the light of the sun. That's bright. Now, I'm going to tell you something, man. And to be in that presence right there, and pure light, man, that's going to be wonderful. So for glory and beauty. Wow, this priest right here is a picture of our high priest. And he's got glory and beauty. But I tell you something, that's just a shadow of the real thing. Types and shadows. Verse 3, "And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office." You know what you need? Wisdom to be the minister. You know what we're supposed to be doing? Ministering. Ministering to people. Now one of my favorite sayings is, God hadn't called all to be preachers, but He's called all to be reachers. You're all supposed to be reaching somebody for some kind of thing. Why? Because God will fill you for a service. You know, a lot of people, they're talking about wanting to be filled with the Spirit. Yeah, I've heard a lot of sermons on filled with the Spirit. Well, what good is it going to do to fill some of these people? They ain't going to do anything with the filling anyhow. They're talking about, "Man, I want to be filled with the Spirit of God." Well, if you're not going to do anything with it, what good is it going to do? Y'all, you can be filled with the Spirit and walking in that door right there. You can be filled with the Spirit while you clean your house. You're supposed to be filled. The Bible, it's a command to be filled doing all things. And filled has to do with just being controlled with the Lord. It's not some kind of mystical feeling. You know, you're just filled with the Lord. And you know what? I got somebody saying written down in the margin of my Bible, and I visit that saying. I've heard people say, What does it feel like to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God? I'll tell you what it feels like. You'll feel like doing what the Scripture says.
That's right.
You don't have to have some kind of... I get some of these people, you know, and they make out like, if you're a Christian, you're filled with God, you just feel wonderful all the time. I tell you something, man, sometimes I feel awful and I don't feel like serving God. But you know what? It's when you go past your feelings and you do what's right whether you feel like it or not. You say, all right, I don't feel like being nice right now, but I'm filled with the Spirit, so I'm going to go past my feelings and go by the feeling, not my feelings. See, there's a difference there. The feeling trumps the feelings. And that's where you get into a different realm. But God fills you with that Spirit. Okay? It says in verse 4, and these are the garments which they shall make. Now count them now. A breastplate, and an ephod, and a robe, and a broidered coat, a mitre, and a girdle. Now how many is that? As far as I can tell, 6. Alright, it says, and they shall make holy garments for Aaron, thy brother, and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Now, here's this priest here, he has 6 pieces to that thing. Well, you get to look in here, look over here at the same chapter, look at verse number 30. It says, and thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and Thummim. And they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord, and Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. Now, you know what that is? That's the 7th piece to that thing. It was just given later. Now, 7, that's perfection. Don't you know it should be 7 things? Now you say, what does that have to do with? I'll tell you what that does. Right there, hold your place there and turn to Ephesians chapter 6.
That's right.
Ephesians chapter 6. We got some things we wear. He's had something he's wearing. We got something we wear in the church age. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, while you're turning there, that Bible tells you, in verse number 13, if you will stay from rebellion from God, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Don't put on half of the thing. You know what I found, and as I analyzed my life, and I said, Lord, well, where did I go wrong here? I missed a piece of this thing. And I'm going to tell you, one of the most common piece that's missed is the piece that's mentioned last. Because just like you had to read a little bit further to get that 7th piece right there, you had to read a little bit further to get this 7th piece. And I'm going to tell you, it's a simple thing, but we always miss the simple thing. So he says, that you may be able to stand, alright? So why aren't some people able to withstand in the evil day and having done all the same? How come people aren't standing? You say, what's going on? How come nobody's standing for God, so to speak, anymore? I'll tell you why. They don't have the whole armor on. Now, you can have on 6 pieces, but if you don't have the 7th piece, you don't have the whole armor on. You got something missing.
That's right.
Okay. Now, you get over here and it says, verse 14, stand having your loins girt about with truth. That's 1. And having the breastplate, on the breastplate of righteousness 2, and your feet shall have the preparation gospel peace, that's 3. Above all, taking the shield of faith 4, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet, that's 5, of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, that's 6 right there, which is the Word of God. Now, what's the 7th one? You had to read on just like the other one. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Now, why is that so important? Do you know, we're going to read later, if I ever get to it, about that Urim and Thummim? You know how the priest inquired of God through the Urim and Thummim? The 7th piece, the piece that you had to read further to get to. You know how you're going to inquire of God? You know what your Urim and Thummim is today? We don't have to have that today.
That's right, Brother Jay.
That's prayer. You know, one of the most, the piece that says, take the whole, man, I've got that helmet on, I've got that shield on, I've got that breastplate, I've got the girdle on, I even got the Word of God. Alright, well, if you don't got the prayer, you do not have the whole armor on, and you wonder why we're not able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, because we're not carrying it to God in prayer. You know, when you're not carrying it to God in prayer, I'm carrying it myself.
Yeah, that's it.
See, what in the old illustration is, it's casting your cares on God. You know what we'll do? We'll cast them, and we'll go right back over there and get them again.
There you go.
And man, I'll tell you something. For me, that is one of the hardest things, because this is what, man, and as a preacher, I wish I didn't tell you this, but I hope this, when I share personal things, I want it to be something to help you. A lot of times I'll pray for something so I can say I prayed about it, and then I'll go right off and do what I wanted to do anyway and try to handle it my way anyway, and still I'll say, well, God, I need you to help me with this attitude I got. And you know what I do? I'll say, I talk to you about it, and I'll go right on about, and I'll still have my bad attitude, and I'll still have my complaining, and I'll still have my murder down in here, and I'll say, well, I prayed about it, it's God's fault. No, you prayed about it so you could get it off your conscience. See, that's what I've done, and that's what goes on. You know what we did? We prayed about it, and instead of giving it to God, we just say, well, you know, I prayed about it. That's not taking on the whole arm. You know what? I realize if you'll pray about it and just go ahead and give it to Him, man, it just completely takes the chains off of it, because you can say, Lord, literally, I've given it to you, Lord, and I'm not going to go over here and I'm not going to get here and worry about it and all this stuff. God, this thing is driving me crazy. You're the only one that can do it. And I'm really handing it to you. And I'll tell you something. Then you start getting, and the line gets clear.
There you go.
The line gets clear then. It has to do with supplication with God. Now I'll tell you something. When you're praying, I want to show you something here. I hope it'll be helpful. All right, you got all this armor mentioned here. There's a couple things, we won't get to the back part, but there's a couple things in the church age that you don't have that they had as pieces of armor back then. Now, I want to show you something. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 17. Oh, you don't have no armor for the back, and people say, well, why? Because the Christian, we got Almighty God fighting in and through us. All right, and guess what? We don't have to turn our back. We can resist the devil. And you know what? You got a different thing. But back then, armor was common, and it shows you in 1 Samuel 17, when David goes up to Goliath, his brothers told him, or maybe it's Saul told him, this man is a warrior from his youth. He said, you're just a youth. He's been fighting since he was young. So when you turn to 1 Samuel 17, I want to show you something here. And maybe it'll help you. All right, so 1 Samuel 17, verse number 4 says, and there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span. He had a helmet of brass upon his head and was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs. In verse number 6, number for man, and a target of brass between his shoulders. Now, what's the greaves? That's for your knees. Now, you know what the Christian armor don't have? It don't have greaves. Why? Because whenever you're in prayer, you're down like this right here, and your knees are protected in prayer. You know what's supposed to protect man? God. You're down like this. Why? Because we're not making flesh our arm. You're not supposed to trust in flesh. You know what you're doing whenever you're going to God in prayer in your battle? Is you're saying, God, I can't. All right, how crazy would this sound for a man to put on all this armor? See, he's showing you a spiritual application there of a spiritual battle. He said we fight not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So you put on all this armor. He's showing you something. And all of a sudden, instead of getting out here and getting on the battlefield and fighting, he said, now put on all that armor, now get on your knees. Now how many people you know can fight on their knees very well? I can fight around my son on my knees a little bit, but he can run around me and whip me if he hops on my back and knocks me over. Well, you know what? You put on all this armor, the girdle, the helmet, the breastplate, and everything else, and he says, now I'm going to show you. You get down on your knees, and you're more dangerous on your knees in prayer to God than a warrior completely armored up.
Yeah,
why? Because if you leave one piece off, You know what that'll make you weak in the sea? He's protecting your legs. Why? Because the devil knows if you're standing up fighting the devil, we're no match for the devil. See, you may as well get down and let God fight him through you spiritually. It's a spiritual battle. Why? We had a guy on our football team. His name was Cole Vance. And I'm going to tell you this right here. He was if I remember correctly, he was about 135 pounds dripping wet, maybe 140. Pure muscle. But I'm going to tell you this right here. That guy right there could knock anybody down other than my brother. And them two would get out there and just literally, it scared me. They'd hit one another so hard. You know what they'd do? He would come up, and right before that player got to him, that player would be coming up like this, and Cole would dive down, hit his knees, and knock him over. And he's like, he's hitting my knees. You know what we do so we don't get knocked down? Hit our knees. God says, look, the devil is so, if he can knock you down from your foundation, he can get you. All you got to do to go and test your temperature, your spiritual, all it takes, how's your prayer life? That's all you have to do. You say, all right, how am I doing in the spiritual battle? I'm going to tell you this, how's your prayer life? It's that simple. So, what is this, some kind of big old checklist? I've heard sermons on a 12-point checklist. I got one saved from years ago, and he said, here's a 12-point checklist on, I'm going to tell you, here you go, how's your prayer life? Why? Because if the devil can take your prayer life, he's got you. He can knock you down on your knees, and he can knock your foundation out from under you. He's taken off one piece of that armor. You know what we know right here from what I could tell? He said there's all kind of things on here, on this helmet and everything else. In verse number 5, and he had a helmet of brass upon his head and all these things. Well, evidently, by the time he gets hit in the head over here, in verse number 49, and a stone, and stone, the Philistine, in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. You know what the chances are right there? And I got some references and stuff to it, what it looks like. It looks like this right here. He said, what's this little kid going to do? This guy's just a youth. He's going to whip me. He took his helmet off. He didn't take him serious. And that's what it looks like to me. Now, somebody else may know something, either supernatural strength. I see that too. Could have went through the helmet. But from what I could tell, he had the helmet available there, and he didn't have it on, is what it looks like. And I'm going to tell you this right here. If you take one piece off, and the piece that people mostly take off, man, I've got my faith. I've got my helmet. I've got this breastplate. Man, nothing's going to get into my heart here. Yeah, but you take the prayer out. And that one piece, just like one piece not being on there, knocked Goliath down. Man, a great battle. We take that piece off of that prayer right there, and that's got us. That'll sink you right there. Why? Because it knocks our foundation. You know how we get through the things we get through? Prayer. You know what? We have a prayer list, and Paul said making requests of God. I don't think there's nothing wrong with a prayer request. As long as we got pray, we need to be praising for the answers too. The one thing with a prayer list, we forget, we pray, and then we forget to update it and say, look at all these things God done for us. But the thing I'm trying to show you is this. When people get in a fix, pray for me. Now, if it didn't work, they wouldn't say that. Y'all, I know people who don't go to church and they don't even profess to be saved. When something goes bad, they know, and they down through history, there have been enough answer to prayer where they'll call you and say, pray for so-and-so. Man, we've got a serious thing going on with y'all. And so somebody's, and y'all, you know what? God gets to work in that thing. God starts working in that family. God starts working in that situation. You know what we're realizing? That Bible showing you it's prayer. It's prayer. It's that sweet fellowship with God. That's important right there. But you know what you have to do? You have to read down to get it. We had to read down later on to get it. You know what? Getting in that prayer walk, it takes going a little bit further. It takes going a little bit further with God. You know what I recommend this to y'all, and I know I say it a lot, but we learn by repetition. Keep an ongoing conversation with God. That's the best way to keep you. You know, the Bible says praying always over in 1 Thessalonians. The best way to do is just because y'all. If y'all are anything like me, if you work very much, if you get down very, and we say on our knees in prayer. But prayer is relying on God. If you're praying when you're walking right there, that's just like being on your knees. That's saying, I can't fight this thing out. You've got to do it for me, God.
Right.
Sometimes I get down, man, you get real tired, and you know, 15, 20 minutes will put you to sleep.
Amen.
So you know what you have to do? Get up and walk around a little bit. That's Lord, it's not me. I'm not fighting this thing out. I can't do anything on my knee. I'm very limited. God, I need you. I need a handout. I need you to help me. A hand up. But well, with God, I'm telling you something. We take handout from God. I can tell you something. I take a hand up, hand out anything I get from God, Lord. I want everything that you've got to offer, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. And I'll tell you this, that stuff right there is a blessing. And so how did we get all the way over yonder from Exodus 28? I don't know either. I done forgot. But it's there. If you look at it, it's there. Man, that Bible's a blessing, man. It's hard to get very far with it with all this stuff in here. Verse number 5 in Exodus 28 says, and they shall take gold and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen. Now what we're about to do is do a little bit of reading together. You know what God will do? God will let you read with Him a little while. You know, if we only hung out with somebody just for what they give us, that wouldn't be too good, would it? You know what? Sometimes I think God's got all kind of stuff in Exodus that we hadn't found yet, just to see if people sit there and read some of that stuff. There's got to be all kind of stuff. And I won't never find it all, I can tell you. I'll search the rest of my life this book and keep learning. Verse 6, it says, and they shall make the ephod of gold, of blue, and of purple, of scarlet, and of fine twine linen, with cunning work. This thing takes work. These people are working for the Lord. It shall have the two shoulder pieces thereof joined at the two edges thereof, and so it shall be joined together. Now that's interesting. Here's this priest, and it starts talking about these shoulder pieces on and on and on. There's another verse over here that I might not get to tonight, but it talks about the shoulder pieces. Now this thing, we went over how this thing is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest. The Hebrews talks about he is the priest after the order of Melchizedek that never dies. Now, what's this thing about the shoulder? Look here at Isaiah. Familiar verse here. Isaiah chapter number 9. Isaiah 9. Why does it keep talking? As we'll read, we'll talk about his shoulders a little bit. And we know these are types of the Lord Jesus Christ. Alright, Isaiah chapter number 9. I'm going to wait till you get there. I want you to see this thing about these shoulders. If you know anything much about boxing and stuff like that, sports, you want to have your shoulders real strong. One thing I messed up, and I had a guy tell me back when I used to train years ago, he told me, he said, brother, you need to train your shoulders more. And man, I wanted them triceps and all that stuff. And man, I'd train and I'd do bench and all this stuff. But I messed up by not training my shoulders as much as I should have. But shoulders, there's a lot of power in your shoulders. And the Bible has things to say about the shoulders. With those shoulders being broad, you can hold things up with your shoulders, like when you squat and things like that. But it helps you have power. Now, I tell you what, God is all powerful. You know what it said in Isaiah 9 verse 6? For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given. I like that, is given. God so loved that He gave. And the government shall be upon His shoulder. You know what I like about that right there? It said His shoulder over there. And if you'll notice, we were talking over here back there, and it said the shoulder pieces. It don't even take two shoulders for the Lord to be in it. Just one shoulder. God is strong enough to hold the whole government upon His shoulder. Why? This is a prophecy. The child was given. That part has came to pass. But guess what? The government is not upon His shoulder right now. You know what? That's why you got so much evil in the government. Why? It's not upon the shoulder of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of these people getting so upset about stuff going on in government. And look, I'm just like anybody else. I wish things were... I wish all the governments of the whole world weren't corrupt like they are.
y'all, the Bible says the devil's running the situation.
Amen.
You got some of these people, well, I can't believe North Korea does what they do and get away. The devil's running the situation. Some of these, they talk about, that Russia, man, they got some... This world's not our home. The government's going to be upon his shoulder. Why is people so worried about all the governments right now when the Bible says one day the government's going to be upon his shoulder? I'll tell you something. Then everything's going to be all right. But right now, it's been like that for ages and ages and ages. Plumb back at this time, plumb all the way back to Genesis chapter 10. They made a one world government, and it's been pharaohs come down through there, Nebuchadnezzar, Sennacherib, and you just name them all the Caesars of Rome, and you get up here, Napoleon Bonaparte, and all these people, all the way down to where we're at now. You know what it is? The government's going to be upon his shoulder. The trouble is, Jesus Christ didn't rule and reign. You know what that's a picture of? That's showing you this. We're going to read about this priest right here. He gets these breastplates. I mean, all these beautiful stones, you know, representing the people, the tribes of Israel. You know, he puts them on his breastplate, right there close to his heart. You know what he's got? He's got the heart and he's got the strength. He's got perfect balance. He's got enough strength to hold it all together. But he's got everybody on his heart at the same time. Y'all, that's a blessing right there. You know what's wrong with a lot of people, why they can't govern well? Because their heart's not right. When your heart's right and you truly love people like you should and you put others first like the Lord Jesus Christ did, that's what makes him such a great ruler. You know what I saw? I don't know who put it up. Had to be a Christian of some kind, probably. But I saw a sign. It didn't stay there real long. But if you drove through Ripley a few years back, there was some signs down through there and it said, "Leadership is servanthood." I thought, well, that's a pretty good sign right there. Well, it didn't take them long. Somebody took them down. But you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ girded himself and served. Man, that's humbling. Why? God of all the universe, you know what he's showing you? How to be a good leader. And y'all, the government's going to be upon his shoulder. This priest right here is picturing. One of these days, everything will be ruled and reigned by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it'll be done right. It'll be done. And he'll have good folks in power. But until then, it's not going to come. A lot of people, they think, we're going to fix this thing up and we're going to bring in the kingdom. No, you're not. You ain't bringing in nothing. There's going to be an unrighteous, awful kingdom come before Saul comes before David in the Bible. Saul says he loves the people. He said, well, we was going to help the people. That guy leads the people into death and everything else. He don't care. You know what? You got that first. Then King David comes. And then guess what? You got that picture of that rest, that millennial rest in Solomon. And guess what? It's going to be... Look, Solomon, when he reigned, gold pieces were just like... silver and stuff like that were just like rocks. They didn't even count them. It was so plentiful in riches. You know what? The kingdom when the Lord Jesus Christ is ruling and reigning, it's going to be so wonderful and so much riches out there. You could put millions and billions of dollars out in your front yard if you had it, if it was worth anything. And you know what? Nobody would touch it. You're not going to need any bars on your windows. You're not going to have no hospitals. Why? Everybody's going to do fine.
That's right.
Nobody's going to be sick. It's going to be wonderful. That's why you read. You when you're reading this thing over here in Exodus, I'm just showing you just a little bit. You're reading a whole lot more than you think you are. It's a whole lot in there. We like it, don't we, Brother Mike? It's a lot in there. I like it. It's wonderful. It said back in Exodus 28, and the curious girdle of the ephod, which is upon it. You say, what's curious? It's like curiosity killed the cat. You know why they get killed so much with that cat? They're desiring to see something. That thing, curious girdle. You say, how far can you deal? It's going to take somebody a lot smarter than me. Because I just know it's a curious girdle of the ephod. And if you got some insight on that?
We looked it up one time. There's a definition in Webster's.
Oh, okay. All right, when you find it, let me know.
I should have looked at the website. I didn't think about that before I left. Which is upon it shall be of the same according to the work thereof, even of gold, of blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen. And thou shalt take 2 onyx stones and grave on them the names of the children of Israel. Wouldn't that look neat right there with those stones? And each one of the stone had one of the tribe's name on it. And a stone is going to last forever. You know, these specific stones, Christ is the stone. Each individual one in Christ on his breastplate. You know where we're at? We're in Christ. Man, that's a blessing, ain't it? What is it?
Archaic meaning in Webster Dictionary is made carefully or precisely accurate.
Curious. Somebody was curious about that thing. Precisely accurate. I like it. Thank you for that. It was that curious was precisely accurate. Verse number 10. 6 of their names on one stone, and the other 6 names of the rest on the other stone according to their birth. So, you know what? People say, wonder when we get things in the Bible. There's your birthstones right there. People say, how we get them birthstones? There it is right there in the Bible. You'd be surprised at how many things we get out of the Bible. You say, wonder where that comes from. A lot of it we get is things that we've gotten out of the Bible. It says this, with the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet. Shalt thou engrave the 2 stones with the names of the children of Israel. Thou shalt make them to set in ouches of gold. And thou shalt put the 2 stones upon the shoulders of the ephod for the stones of memorial unto the children of Israel. And Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his 2 shoulders for a memorial. Now then you get these memorial stones. Now you know what this has to do with? Take your Bible now and look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter number 45, about midways of your Bible, maybe to the right a little bit. Ezekiel 45, I'll show you something here that a lot of folks don't talk about. But the millennium is talked about a lot in the Bible. We think a lot of times we'll be thinking about the Bible and we think it's just to us today. Well, you got to think this Bible is going to be, there's going to be things in this Bible for folks in the next dispensation. Which is the next dispensation is the Great Tribulation. Alright, you're going to have a thing go on and God is going to finish out Daniel's 70th week whenever we're gone. Alright, and we're going to go up in the rapture. And then the dispensation after that is the 1,000-year millennial reign. They're going to have scripture. I can go through there. That's like the Constitution of the Kingdom. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. That's all application with the Lord sitting on that mount giving them the Constitution for how He's going to rule and reign in that kingdom. He came preaching that kingdom. The kingdom's at hand. And He gave them the rules for that kingdom. But they reject Him. We realize that. But then you get in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. And man, there's all kinds of things that's going to be going on. And we get up here in Ezekiel 45. You're talking about these memorial stones here. Well, you get over here in Ezekiel 45 verse 17. It says, and it shall be the prince's part to give burnt offerings and meat offerings and drink offerings in the feasts and in the new moons and in the Sabbaths. Well, you know that's not our dispensation. We don't observe Sabbaths and things like that. It says, and in the Sabbaths, in all solemnities of the house of Israel. So is that mail directed to you? Absolutely not. That's directly to the house of Israel. He shall prepare the sin offering and the meat offering and the burnt offering and the peace offering to make reconciliation for the church. No, for the house of Israel. Why? How do we get reconciliation? The book of Romans tells you, you are reconciled. Now, you know what? We've got that. But you know what? One of these days, the Bible tells you in Colossians, talking about the shadows of things to come in Colossians chapter 2. People say, what's that referred to? Right there, what things to come. In the church age, that stuff, you don't have to do no sacrifice and that like that. What's it? These are going to be memorials. And as you read the book of Ezekiel, we could go over a lot of these scriptures. That's memorial, looking back to what He has done.
and the house of Israel is going to do that. All through those millenniums, all through the millennium, they're going to go through there and they're going to observe those Sabbaths and those new moons. It's going to be all kind of, we're going to have things we do, the house of Israel, the Jews are going to have things they do, and the Gentiles are going to have things they do. It's going to be separated again. There's going to be a level of separation again that we don't have in the church age. Why? In the church age, Galatians chapter 3 says, in Christ, once you're saved, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's no distinctions in the body of Christ. But y'all, one of these days, you know what that Bible tells you over there? They're going to be up there in that millennium. And it talks about there's even not even going to be no more Canaanite that can come into the house of the Lord. There's going to be distinctions made again. Why? Because the Lord in His kingdom, He's the one that's ruling. He's saying what's going. And He's going to make changes. Why? They're under a new covenant with the Lord, with the house of Israel. Hebrews says they're going to make He's going to make a new covenant with them. Now, we're under the New Testament, but He's going to have a new covenant that has to do with the house of Israel, and we're not a part of that. Wow, we're with the body of Christ. We're joined, bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. And y'all, we've got ministry we're going to do, and they're going to have ministry they're going to do. I think that's so neat. Why? They got a memorial that they're going to be doing, always remembering what the Lord did for them. And I'll tell you something, man, that right there is going to be something to see. I mean, something that's that millennium, you'll get up there and see the Lord and seeing these people come up. And you know what that Bible tells you over in Isaiah? It says that there's going to be people and they're going to grab a hold of a skirt of him that is a Jew. And that Jew is going to do what he said they were supposed to do way back then. It was supposed to be the Jews bringing the Gentiles to Christ. But they missed out on it. So you know what? They're going to get in on the millennium. So who's doing this right now? We are bringing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says to provoke them to jealousy. I tell you, that's real humbling right there. Why, to make them jealous? I'm just glad we get in on it.
Amen.
Man, I tell you something. You know what's going on with Gentiles now? They make out like they just deserve everything. Man, I'll tell you something. The Bible says, boast not against the branches. You know what we're seeing right now? You can tell the Gentiles just so arrogant, think we just deserve every little thing. I tell you this, if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ, we would be in a mess. In a mess. And it makes, I read stuff like this, I say, thank you, Lord, for free salvation, free grace. Not, you know what the Bible says? Not of works. You know what we're going to be reading here in a little bit as we get more into Exodus? We're going to be, they had to offer all kinds of, they had to have a priest and he had to go up there and offer for a sin offering and all this stuff. I've had my sin offering. The Lord Jesus Christ offered for our sins.
That's right.
All my sins bought and paid for. Man, ain't that something to have something bought and paid for? I tell you what, a paid for pickup seems like it drives better than when you got a payment on. Man, it's nice. Now we'll go back here just for a few minutes and Exodus. See if I can find a good stopping place. It says in verse 13, and thou shalt make ouches of gold and two chains of pure gold at the ends of wreathen work. Shalt thou make them and fasten the wreathen chains of the ouches. And thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work. Every bit of it need to be cunning work. Isn't that something? God don't want things done just in a half manner. You know why it's a good thing? I believe when we're doing something with the Lord, it ought to be cunning work. I don't believe we all want to have to do anything. You know what? One thing, there's things, if I could go back and redo a lot of stuff that I half did, I wish I could go back and do a better job at it.
Amen.
Go back and say, Lord, a lot of times we forget if we're doing something. I just did that for the Lord and I thought, man, I did a half job on it. Here are these people right here doing these things. Cunning work. Man, just do a good job on it. It says, after the work of the ephod, thou shalt make it of gold, of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, and of fine twined linen. Shalt thou make it four square. It shall be being doubled. I think that's interesting that thing was doubled there. I guess just making it super strong. Don't you know God knows how to make things, giving them good directions?
A span shall be the length thereof, and a span shall be the breadth thereof. And thou shalt set it in settings of stones, even four rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardis, a topaz, and a carbuncle. This shall be the first row. And the second row shall be an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row, how you pronounce it, Shallow? Ligure? L-I-G-U-R-E. I listened to score before I done come down here today, and I still forgot it. An agate and an amethyst. I said amethyst right. That's good. And the fourth row, a beryl and an onyx and a jasper. They shall be set in gold in their enclosings. And the stones shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12, according to their names, like the engravings of a signet. Every one with his name shall be according to the 12 tribes. Wouldn't that be something to come up there and see that priest with that name? All those names in there on that, engraved in that on his breastplate. Now look, you're talking about peculiar people. You imagine when these Gentiles come up there and go, now what's this fella right here? You know? Now what's this guy got going on? What's he got going on here with all these? Man, that's something right there. Well, you know what? Don't people come up to you and say, now you got a little something different about you. You know that happened right there, and I know normal people would have acted in a certain way. But you had joy in that situation, and a lot of people don't. Something's going on here. You got something different about your breastplate.
That's right.
And you know what? That's a different. That why? Because the Bible says we're peculiar people. You behave just a touch different. You know what he's showing? He said, I know it's going to, I do things peculiar, but I've got a method to my madness, so to speak. It says, and thou shalt make upon the breastplate chains at the ends of wreath and work of pure gold. And thou, look at how good everything. You know what? This thing that God's making for this guy right here, this thing is neat. Now this is an earthly thing picturing a heavenly. Now you imagine what you're clothed in up there in heaven that's going to be on an earth that don't have anything to do with sin. The heaven don't have anything. Once God does away with all that, don't you know what clothed in the clothing He's going to give you is going to be? Man, because this thing's neat. You're pure gold. Well, man, you're going to be up on the streets of pure gold. There's no telling what kind of clothing the Lord's able to give you. Yeah. This world has no idea what God can make. And thou shalt make upon the breastplate two rings of gold, and thou shalt put the two rings on the two ends of the breastplate, and thou shalt put the two wreathing chains of gold in the two rings which are on the ends of the breastplate. You got to have the wisdom of God to be able to follow it. I'm reading it, and I still don't know. It says, in the other two ends of the two wreathing chains, thou shalt fasten in the two ouches and put them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod before. Now, you got all that, Brother Mike? Could you build that? You got to have the Spirit of God to do it. Now, you know what we're reading right here? God gave, He didn't give them pictures and directions and stuff like some. You know, He gave them the Spirit to understand it. You know why some people don't understand God's book? Because they don't have the Spirit to understand it. I'm reading that and I'm having trouble with it. But I tell you this right here. I get over here in my mail today when the Apostle Paul tells me, hey, you need to let your speech be with grace, season, and salt. I understand that. God gives me enough sense to understand it. He gives me enough sense. Look, a lot of this stuff I don't understand, I don't have as much trouble with that. It's like the man that says, it's the stuff that I do understand, that's what I have trouble with. It's don't do this. And that's the stuff I have more trouble with. And thou shalt make two rings of gold. What verse was I in? And thou shalt put them upon the two ends of the breastplate and the border thereof, which is in the side of the ephod inward, and two other rings of gold shalt thou make, and shalt put them on the two sides of the ephod underneath, toward the forepart thereof, over against the other coupling thereof, above the curious girdle of the ephod. And they shall bind the breastplate by the rings thereof, under the rings of the ephod, with a lace of blue, that it may be above the curious girdle of the ephod, and that the breastplate be not loose from the ephod. It's supposed to be, all that stuff was there, if you'll notice, to keep that breastplate on him. He's got those rings like this, and it's keeping that breastplate tight on him. You know what? It's the things devotionally speaking, I'm looking at things. God did all that and said all that right there so that breastplate would be tight on him and it would be on like it's supposed to. It's the things in life we let go loose. Just get a little loose on this one area right here. You know what God's saying? I did all that right there in all those things so that breastplate, the things around your heart, the things that should be close to your heart, don't let them get loose. I tell you something, we can follow that heart throughout the Bible and say, God, what are some things that's supposed to be close to my heart? I tell you it's close to your heart. God don't need to be, we don't need to let that relationship loose. Our family and our church family, we start getting that loose. I tell you something, don't you know if the devil can get you loose in a little area right over there, he says, uh-oh, I can get that loose. And then you get to wrestling with him. He can knock that thing off of you and before long you'll have your breastplate on anymore. You know what? You got all these rings. See, them rings would be up and down through here like this and he'd have things through those rings where you could pull them tight. And you pull that thing tight and tie it off and you could pull that thing and it stayed tight on him. Well, you know what I found out? If you got any kind of a uniform whatsoever, that's like shoes. I wear shoes. Daddy always got me shoes I can slip on because I was bad about. You know what I'd do? I'd go and my shoes would come untied. I'd start stepping on my shoes so they'd get loose and before long your shoes flopping. Before long you run out of your shoes. Well, you know what? Just letting things get loose. You know what we have to do? Keep things tight. People say, you run a tight ship. Tell you what, when we see something coming loose from our armor, get down there and say, I tell you what, I think that helmet, I think my chin strap loose. I'll tell you another story and we'll close out here in a minute. It was real cold one night. We was playing football back in high school. I really wasn't all that good, so I better keep my helmet on because I get my helmet knocked around loose. It was freezing cold, and I hadn't been out in a while. And Coach said, all right, put mask and gill in. So I went out there, and I was resting, giving somebody a breather or two, and I got out there. And I will never forget, I could not get my chin strap. It was so cold, my hands would not let my chin strap, and I was slapping beside of my head as I could get my chin strap on with a palm of my hand. You know why you want that chin strap on real? Don't let things loose. Somebody hits you and knocks your helmet off, it hurts you real bad. You know what? You let things get loose. You know what? That old devil, he'll hit you with something. If something, and when those arrows come in and that breastplate's not on, you know what the best thing of us to do is be looking and say, now look, is there anything loose? Have I got anything loose? I tell you what it'll do. It'll keep your joy up. Why? Because those darts of that devil will come in there and say, here comes a dart. I'm a fiery dart. And he'll come in there, and man, if you don't have that breastplate on, and he'll come in there, if he loved, devil, the level of love, if thou be the Son of God. If the devil looked, if you had only, and if the, and that devil comes in and that was stuff, and that was fired off, and if you don't have it singed up tight, man, you're talking about before long, then we're in a mess. And you know what he loved to do? He loved you to take that helmet off, just get it loose. Man, I need to take a breather. I know I've been, and man, you take a breather before too long, he comes along and knocks you loose. Best thing to do is keep it tightened up. And you know what? God can do it. You know what? I used to love it. Somebody come by and they say, you better tighten up. That's a good saying right there. You better tighten up. You know what we need to do? And the Lord help us tighten up a little bit. All right, let's close out. Brother Mike, if you could close us out.